Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. Voices is a program of neighbors talking to neighbors about items of mutual interest. Our guest today on Voices is Pastor Vincent Price. Pastor Price is the director of the Timothy Trumpet of Truth Ministry here in Slidell. Become a good friend.
Amen.
And doing a great work here in Slidell. So welcome, Pastor Price. Glad you're here.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
It's only the last couple of years we had a chance to meet you. Usually with the program, we were talking to people who have been around for 10, 20 years, but it didn't take you 10 or 20 years to make a big impact on the community. You're just rocking and rolling and making things happen. Can you tell us a little bit about this Timothy Trumpet of Truth Ministry, where it started? Where did it come from?
Yes, sir, I can. Actually, it started in New Orleans, Louisiana. Our bishop, Bishop Robert E. Collins, actually is overseer of what we do. We have three locations. There's one in Araby now, and our facility in Slidell, and then there's another facility in Bugaloosa. And it's been around a long time, Bob. Sorry that you hadn't heard, you know, of it the way that it's being expressed now, but the way things going now, we're excited about what's going on. The ministry actually been on Browns Village Road for about 16 years.
Yes, I had no idea.
16 years, and we've had the privilege to, of being there now, pastor and executive director for about 18 months now. It's been an exciting journey, and we're preparing the facility to be able to house somewhere in the area of 65 to 70 men on a discipleship program, and an additional 30 men that's coming out of prison. And so a reentry program will be there, a discipleship program. And then one piece that I'm excited about is 30 beds for overnight stay for the homeless here in the parish of St. Tammany in the city of Slidell.
Well, you know, this is a ministry that has met a vital need for a while. 16 years is amazing time. And I guess I really wish we had heard about it sooner so that the community could help get behind it. You've made a difference since you've been here. How long have you been in Slidell?
Well, I've been in Slidell about 18 months, a little over 18 months, and I've had a chance to work with some exciting guys that put their past behind them and reaching forward to the things that's in their future. It's not been us, myself and my wife alone. We've had some incredible people that's fighting as well, that's standing next to us and reaching out. And thanks to you as well, that I met some time ago and offering us this opportunity right now. It's amazing.
Let me ask you this. Let's break it down. You gave me a long list of all the things that you guys do, and each one of them is in itself significant. Each one of them is in itself enough for a ministry. Let's start with your outreach for the homeless. Is that a new thing for you, or is that something you've been doing?
Well, we've been doing it, but we've actually kind of dissected it and broke it down so we can address the issues of the homeless and then work from that place to the need for discipleship. Most of the people that have a homeless situation, if substance abuse is involved, then they're homeless because of a substance abuse situation. So there lies, as a Christian, for the need of Christ. And so while they're there and having 30 days to spend kind of getting their lives together and us being able to reach out to them, providing jobs, they got showers, they're eating, you know, we're encouraging them. So the things that they need and investigating their lives, how we can help put them back together again. So if they say they want a long-term relationship, then we suggest the discipleship program.
It's more than just a 30-day vacation for homeless people. Really, the object of the game is to give them something of a good environment, with the object of the game being to kind of get them out of the homeless situation and back into a productive situation in society.
Right, it is, because a part of meeting that need, we got to, Jesus says something in Matthew 11 chapter, he says, come unto me. So we're using a formula where we're getting them to come to God. You know, get them to come to the place of help. And when they do that, then we know from the start that discipleship program is the place to be, because there is resume training, there is dress for success, you know, there is all the other things as it relates to GED and literacy training, you know, that we don't do with inside the 30 days. That's more of assessment time. The real help that they need is in the discipleship mode.
Exactly.
And so we kind of harness that to say that, look, we got a chance to offer you all of this here too. And so and when they see it that way, it's much easier for them to make choice of it.
Well, the technical skills are extremely important. Dress for success, prepare a resume, interview skills, all of that is extremely important to getting it done. But the really the key factor, in which you've already said, is Jesus Christ. Without that, it's just a bunch of words. The life is not going to get changed, because until people have a change of heart and a change of mind, it's just going to be learning some skills that are just going to be useless to them.
Right. The stick and stay to everything that we do is about Christ. Our encouragement of Scripture is be steadfast and to be unmovable and to always increase or abound in the work of the Lord, so that you know that what you do, that your life is not in vain in the Lord. And a lot of vanity exists in the lives of people that's homeless or in substance abuse and all other things, that if it's a broken or torn relationship. And so what we're trying to do is to get them to see inside of them the giant that has been created on the inside of them, that it matters. And so once they see that, then they latch on to that hope that God can help me defeat this struggling addiction or this issue. Even issues of mental health, while we're not a medical facility, you know, we're seeing, you know, people with mental health conditions being ministered to and hope coming back to them. You know, that someday they can be where they are mentally. And so we're seeing some exciting things that have happened. And it's one person at a time. It's one situation at a time.
Yeah.
You know, that we take pleasure in helping one individual at a time.
Well, I guess, you know, to say there's a formula is a little bit ridiculous, because they're all different. But yet there is a formula.
Yes.
And it's the same formula that brought you and I to the foot of the cross.
Exactly.
And it's Jesus Christ, it's his healing, it's his hope, it's the hope of becoming a new creation, a new creature in
yes.
Christ. Awesome, awesome. Tell me a little bit about the other parts of your program. I know you'd said there are people coming out of prison. How does it work? How do they find you? And what's the projected outcome? What are you shooting for?
Well, what we're doing is networking with some other people that's actually involved in prison ministry. And our motivation is to begin to mentor from the prison, you know, for them to meet us and for us to go and sit down and talk with them and develop a relationship with them, so that when they get to us, it's not, you know, cultural shock or here I go again from one facility to the next. They're comfortable, they're friendly, they're ready to get this thing that have held their lives in captivity for 1 or 2 or 3 years, or potentially longer. It just depends on how long a person have been incarcerated. But the thing is that they're deserving of another opportunity. And that's where we deal with them on that basis. And from that, what we get a chance to do is to be able to reach out to their families. Some of them have children, you know, some of them have wives and vice versa. And so what we do is just make sure that we're touching their family while we're mentoring them in an incarcerated position. And then when they become short on the sentence, then we begin to see how we can bring this family together. So both have been receiving counseling and mentorship, talking about parenting, talking about repairing previous hurts and, you know, things that might create a problem for the relationship. And so at the same time, we're inviting the son of the children, the wife, to church and to counseling. And so it makes it easier for when a person come out. And so then once an individual come out, we involve them in the orientation process into the facility. Tell them about some of the things that they want to stay away from, like homelessness. So don't get ultra excited and hyper. You're angry about any particular thing, because so easily you can end up homeless. You know, and most people that come out of an incarcerated position, a job and a place to live is important.
Well, it's important that they don't go back to the old neighborhood and the old people. Chances are they'll just get sucked right back up into that whirlwind of unrighteous living, we'll just say, to be
yes.
kind. For you to offer them to start while they're still in prison, that's awesome, because it makes a link from there to the outside. Your goal is, like you said, to return them to their families.
And, you know, Bob, I can honestly say now, you know, 30-some years in, that we've been involved in this ministry in 3 or 4 states where we've actually been involved in the penal institution, going in, preaching and teaching and counseling the guys that, you know, have issues like this. You know, most people see it from a distance and think it can't happen, but certainly it can happen. I've seen it happen time again, where guys get their lives together and they become assets and not liabilities. and they don't join the recidivism number. You know, because crime is so rampant, you know, no one individual have to participate again for it to stay the way it is. Reaching them and getting them to join the team that go out and make a difference in the community where they were and against the things that they were doing that landed them in prison is a formula, I should say, that can help us defeat blight and crime and drugs in our community.
Well, that's awesome. It's just awesome that you and those in your ministry have caught the vision for this. I would say this is not an easy ministry, a tough ministry. This is not a 40-hour-a-week job.
No, it's not.
I would imagine you spend some pretty long hours doing a plethora of different activities.
Yes, very long. Actually, my wife and I selected this job without pay because where we at can't pay us. It has to be a passion and a burden for what you want to do, okay, and people you want to help. It has to start with a sacrifice. Now we see that the sacrifice is coming to a place where there will be a staff soon and there will be other things because we're working very hard to see those things happen. But here is something that I want to mention that we're looking at. One of the problems that when people get out of our facility is housing, like you said, going back and being a part of the right neighborhood and not going back in the other neighborhood. You know, development of housing, suitable housing for people that's coming up is an option. It's just a simple option of not going back. And it's an option that provide change, notable change, for them to place their faith in. Man, things really changing for me. I don't have to go back in the hood or places where I used to live. I can go back as a testimony, as a blessing, but I don't have to go back to live. God has blessed me with some other place through what change you've made in my life.
We're really just sending them back as missionaries.
Right.
Into the community. It's so refreshing to talk with you about the move of God.
Yes.
You know, we haven't talked at all about denominations or any of that. What we've talked about is kingdom work.
Yes, sir.
And just getting out there, getting your hands dirty, a lot of lost sleep. I'm sure that a lot of things happen when you'd rather be taking a nap.
Absolutely. That you would ask my wife that question. She would say amen. She would definitely
amen,
agree with
amen, amen. Well, you know, you said you'd be doing this ministry as a volunteer.
Yes, sir.
But I'm sure there's a need for funding.
Absolutely.
How does that work with you guys? What do you do? And what are some of the things that you may be doing in the future that we can look forward to and maybe talk about another time?
Okay, we got a number of things that's coming up. We got a campaign that's called 15,000 Time 5. And that's, you know, we're looking to engage around the country, 15,000 people that will send us $5 a month, or those that will want to send whatever they would like to send to support us. We're ready, we're proven, we have the staff in place, we have the skill level, we're not just experimenting, we've been through this. I was a part of helping start the New Orleans Rescue Mission.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's still up today and going forward because the initial foundation and initial leadership is very important for the lasting life of anything that we do. And I was blessed to be with a guy by the name of Michael Greer that came down from Fred Jordan Mission in Los Angeles and the LA Mission, that when the New Orleans Mission started, the time, the effort, New Orleans had not seen a mission like that anyway at that time. The Brantley Mission was up, Ozanam Inn, and other places that were providing. But the New Orleans Mission sitting in outskirt area of the CBD, but right on the cups of the CBD as well, right in the hood, I should say, Clio and Aretha Cassahaley. That those days helped get me together for what we're doing here in Slidell and to protect Slidell from the onslaught of the stuff that will come from, I guess we should say, from the West, from over there in the New Orleans area into St. Tammany. And if we prepared for it, and if we're ready and we have state-of-the-art facility that can be able to minister to the needs of the people that we have. Bob, for instance, every night that we go to sleep in St. Tammany, there's about approximately 84 people that's homeless, that's not in our, you know, emergency shelters, they're not in the women facility or the men facility, they're just loitering our streets and living in the woods. We want to change that. And we're looking for people that want to help us change that. Right now we're in search, you know, for the resources to do a lot of the things that we are called to do or have vision to do.
So you definitely need funding to be able to take care of this. I'm feeding a lot of mouths over there. There's a lot of people that depending on you while they're going through the program for assistance. You need dollars, you need food, anything. What are some of the other things? Do you need volunteers or are you pretty well staffed up?
You know, without encouraging anybody that's, you know, interested in helping us, you know, do call 985-639-9882. You can actually speak to myself or Minister Cooper, Chuck Wright, my right-hand man that works with me so diligently. And then we can provide all the information that's needed. You know, we're in the process in this new management. Remember now, say that we've been in existence for 16 years, but now new management is bringing in some other things that gonna cause us to be recognized by the public. It's not all the public fault that they don't know, and most of them didn't know that we were there, but now we're going to make it easier for you to know where we're at.
You know, if it occurs to me, if there are families listening who have a loved one who's incarcerated at the moment, could they be in touch with you?
Absolutely. And they can get in
to kind of help them to begin. So, I mean, if some mother or sister or husband or wife is sitting there and said, boy, I wish this was available for my loved one.
Yes.
Is that something you can entertain?
Initially, we'll just start off with evaluation of them, talk about how, you know, this person is important with them, how painful it's been for them, why they've been incarcerated.
Yeah.
We'll get some information. You know, it's hard to say I'm going to call him in prison, I'm going to call her, but we're going to work through them, and hopefully to get on his visitor or her visitors list and be able to then be able to go in there and start a mentorship relationship with them. Meet them, let them know that they're not alone, that we're here, we're working with your family right now, and that you don't have to worry about the struggle of getting out and having your, you know, probation or parole officer threatening you about, you know, your monthly fee, or you don't have a job. We're going to try to work from within and without to make sure we keep our community safe and keep families connected to someone that can help.
Well, you know, it sounds like there's also a need for some family retraining as well. They've got, maybe this is the first time that this individual's been incarcerated. Now they're coming out of prison. Maybe they don't know how to exactly deal with helping this person. So it looks like some family retraining as well as
parenting classes and, you know, helping them with life skills. All of that will be a part of what we do and reaching out to them. And so when an individual can really see, Bob, and I know you know this, really see that, you know, hey, these are some God-sent people to me, they will become more transparent, more open, talk about things. And then if we have all of the necessary tools there available for them, you know, you can rebuild a house that way. And so that's our perspective, that we're going to have everything in place to help families. Not only that, to help individuals, whether male or female, is our goal. You know, we have so many calls come into the facility where there's children with their mother in a motel with no way to live, mm-hmm. have resources, but doesn't have the skills to challenge those resources to an apartment or to a place where they can live. So they live there from month to month, wasting $2,300 a month in staying in a hotel trying to take care of five kids. It's devastating. But if we can get them out of that situation, you know, and if the church can look toward, hey, some of the resources we have, being a kingdom-minded ministry or outreach, that we can partner with each other to get the blight and get these situations taken care of. You know, one thing that I know that I'm passionate about, I think about the scripture Jesus mentioned in Matthew's, you know, when he said, you know, when I was in prison, you know, of course, we'll say, well, Lord, when were you in prison? As if, you know, I mean, tell me something that I can relate to. You know, when I was hungry, you fed me and you took me in. When I was a stranger, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. But the part about that is that he's going to also say to a group of people that when you saw me in this condition, you didn't do anything. But the point about it all, I think about, why not err on the side of caution? Why not say, I'm not worrying about if they're trying to take advantage of me, if they're trying to beat me out of money or anything. God knoweth, he provided me these resources. So I'm going to sow this into a changed life. I'm going to sow this into the reestablishment of a family. You know, that they don't have to live in poverty and live, you know, on welfare, that they can break. We believe that a family shouldn't have to depend on the government and that the government should be up on their shoulders. So how do we bring that from what we believe to fruition. Is that there's a process where we got to break down walls, tear down barriers, got to get generational things settled. We need financial help to do these things. We have answers to problems, you know, but sometimes in order to, you know, to get the answer there, we got to do what Jesus said. You know, recognize that it's me. You do it for me because I'm Jesus, but would you do it, you know, for Chuck because he's Chuck? You know, that's the point I got out of that. Lord, I didn't see you there. If I would have saw you there, I would have did it. You know, we shouldn't wait around seeing who it is.
Amen.
We should look after souls. We should look after people that's hurting.
Wow, this is just so inspirational to talk to you today. And just to, I know our audience can't see the passion in your eyes, but I can. If you're listening right now, let me just encourage you to pray about this ministry and see if the Lord would lead you in some way to support it financially or volunteer help or whatever. If this is on your heart, be in touch with Pastor Price, and I'm sure he'll help you to meet a need within your own comfort zone for them. Pastor Price, could you give us that phone number again?
Yes, sir. That phone number is 985-639-9882.
Wonderful.
That's Trumpet of Truth Ministry in Slidell, Louisiana.
Awesome. Awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we've already talked about for our listeners here today?
Yes, we're approximately right now at about 30-some guys in our program. And the big thing about what we're doing is being able to expand, be able to reach out to the segment of the culture of people where we can facilitate housing. We right now at present have 10 modulars that we got from Mandeville High School, I think it was. And right now they're in the process of being brought to our property. And we need help with people that can help move them, that know how to move them, that help get them in place. We need help with cement work. You know, we need help with renovation on those because they're modulars. We got to build them out into the dormitories, the other things. And most of all, we need financial support to be able to do it because we're going to have to realign everything that we're doing. This is a move of God that I want the community and surrounding areas of Slidell to say that, look, we got a place that we know is working. We know love the people. We know that has integrity, and we know that's out for the good of this community. So we need a community move. It's not about me and what I've done, but it's about us, what we are do together.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Price, what a great opportunity has been for us to hear from you and hear about what God's doing. We thank you for making time for us today. And I'd like to ask, would you be willing to come back and talk with us again in the future?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, sir. Looking forward to it.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Pastor Price. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices today on here on Grace Radio. We'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. If you have a comment, particularly a comment about today's programming, call, leave a message, and we'll get back with you. That's 985-250-1037. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, graceradioofslidell.net, and kind of keep up with the ministry. Or you can go to our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, and leave us a tax-deductible donation. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Thanks for tuning in and getting the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.